ordinance is the message that you want. And all week long, he changed the message. I came here with, messages predetermined, and God changed them. And so he didn't change this one. I just sat there this morning. I'm like, Lord, is this the one that you want? And it's nothing scary. It's nothing that maybe we haven't heard before, but for whatever reason, God has had it for this church. God put it on my heart for Egamon. I've never preached this anywhere else. It's the first time that I've ever preached this. It's a study I did on my own. I do a lot of word studies. And so when I did a word study on the Spirit, that wasn't by accident. You read Revelation 3, you're talking about the Spirit. That was not an accident, okay? And so, God gave a message for the church here because you guys aren't doing things right. Maybe somebody's not doing something right, but because these churches like this one who are willing to stand up. It's not like this all over the country. Churches aren't willing to sit underneath the preaching. Churches aren't willing to hear what God has to say through that Bible. Churches aren't willing to stand for that truth anymore. They've all quit that kind of stuff. And God is looking for that remnant of the churches that are willing to stand up in such a place like this. There's hardly anybody around here, but God has called you guys to this place.
Right.
It's not by accident that you sit in these seats and in this church and underneath that man of God that God has put you under in these last times. And now what will we do with it?
Right.
What are we going to do with what God has given us? And so, now this may challenge people in different ways here. I can see where God could challenge somebody who's saved. I can see where he would challenge somebody who's lost in this study. Okay? And so what we're going to do is we're going to turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start there, and then we're going to get through this, Lord willing. It's not a long message. It's not a tiring message, but it's an important message. Okay? If we stay here for 2 hours, then be ready to stay for 2 hours.
Right. Yeah.
I know the times. I know people work. Yeah. Get that. I understand that totally. But we can do work when it comes to Bible. All of a sudden, we want to be tired. And I had a tiresome day. He said, "What'd you do all day? Ate food. It was disgusting. Disgusting. It was good. But." God help us because I overate. So look at Romans chapter 8. And I want to make a few distinctions here and hope that also this here will get you challenged into going home and doing a study on that word Spirit. What we've done as churches is we've taken that word Spirit, whether it's capital S or small S, and we've bunched them all together. That is not the case, okay? The translators through the Holy Ghost of God gave them distinct letters for each one of those spirits, and they are different in essence. Mm-hmm. Many people don't know that the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, each one of them have 7 distinct spirits themselves for a total of 21 spirits that you can find under each of the Godheads. Okay? I don't have time to go into that today, but they're there. Why did God do that? So we would know what part of the Godhead is working in that situation because they work simultaneously as well as differently, okay? They work together. They're never working apart one from another, but God wants us to be able to tell who is doing what in that situation, and it's very important that we make that distinction because God, through the Holy Ghost, gave that to the translators for us to have that. He specifically put those S's capitalized or lowercase s's. And I'll give you a few examples as we go on, but it's important to know that when you're reading your Bible, don't bunch them together like it's the same. It's not, okay? Find out. It will probably take you 6 to 8 months to do that Bible study on that word Spirit and categorize every single one of them in their categories where they come from. Now, I think you'll find it interesting, and it will help you in that Bible see who is doing what from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. About a 6 to 8 month study, depending on how much you put into it, how much effort you put into it. But I tell you, well worth it, okay? Well worth it. I'm just telling you, sometimes it can be weariness to the flesh, the Bible says. to do that type of study. But I'll tell you, give you an understanding second to none. And by the way, I just want to say this, and I'm not stepping on toes. I'm just telling you how I do it. This is how I learn my Bible. I don't read behind other people. I think I've maybe read maybe one or two books my entire salvation life, okay? Because if God can teach that man, why can't he teach me?
That's right.
The problem is we've become lazy.
Yeah.
We've become lazy in our study, so we rely on what somebody else says. Now, I'm not saying not to do that, okay? Not telling you to do that. But don't do it because you're lazy.
Right.
Get in there and study that book yourself and let the Holy Ghost of God teach you. It's worth it. It's worth 100% because I found that when I start reading behind so much of what man has to say, I start getting man's opinion.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't want man's opinion. Brother, I've had man's opinion my whole entire life, and it did me no good. Mm-hmm. When I started getting God's mind and getting his opinion, it changed my life.
Yeah.
So which one do you think I'm going to go after? I'm going to go after what God's opinion is. And so here we go in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. And we'll see right off the bat here, it says, the Spirit, Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And I want you to see here, there's a capital S, and then there's a small lowercase s. Those are two different spirits. Mm-hmm. There's the Spirit there, that's God's Spirit telling us, our spirit, that we're his children. What's going on today is lethal in the churches is that people are taking their small as spirit and witnessing with their own small as spirit that they're saved.
Yeah.
They're void of the capital S Spirit of God in their lives, showing them that they are children of God. Let me ask you this. Do I have to walk up to my daughter Autumn every single day and tell her she's my son or my daughter? No, I do not. Why? Naturally, it's inside of her to understand that she's my daughter. That is when somebody has the Spirit of God, and that's somebody who's saved. They don't have to worry about her question anymore. But today, they're taking their own spirit and witnessing with their own spirit that they're children of God. It's not what the Bible talks about. But yet, people go and they twist that and they construe it. God is trying to tell a person, look at what's... Here's the question God put on my heart for you. What spirit is witnessing to you? That's the important thing. That's what whoever or however or what family member or who in this church tonight needs to clear everything out of your head. Stop worrying about anything that may be coming up, anything that may hinder you or hinder your thinking, and just listen and ask yourself, what spirit is within? I don't care if you claim that you've been saved your whole life, if you've been recently saved, stop and ask yourself, what spirit is witnessing with my spirit? It's so important that you are able to know that, and I hope, by God's grace, that by the time we get to the end of this message, you'll be able to decipher what spirit is witnessing to you. Is it your spirit convincing your spirit that you're okay? Or is it God's spirit inside of you witnessing to your spirit that you're his child? Totally two different things.
Yeah.
What spirit is witnessing to you today? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, that's a small s spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so not every spirit that comes upon us is from God. There are spirits out there that are evil, wicked spirits that come upon us, the spirit of lying, okay? The spirit of lust, those things can come on us. When I go into a jail or a prison, I have those spirits, those unclean spirits trying to jump on me constantly. And it's a battle to get those things off. And so we know that every spirit that's witnessing to us is not a spirit of God.
Right.
And we need to learn how to tell that difference. How can we tell the difference? Well, my friend, God has given us it right here.
Yeah.
This is going to confirm everything in your life. This is, when you're reading this book, it's going to witness to you of who and what you are. When the preaching is going on of this book, and it's being done right, and it's being preached in context. Bible in context is so important.
Mm-hmm.
We can spiritually preach it and still be okay. We can doctrinally preach it and still be okay. And we can historically preach it and still be okay. But what people are trying to do is they're trying to twist things around and make it fit their life. People are actually building their own religion out of a King James Bible today. Why? Because they're taking it and making it trying to fit what they want to fit, my friend. God didn't say, he says, this book is of no private interpretation.
Right.
What it says is what it says. That is all there is to it. There's no, well, maybe this or maybe. And here's what really gets me. And I don't mind stepping on toes about this.
Amen.
I don't think I'm stepping on anybody's toes in here. But why, Brother Seth? It took 1,500 years, 40 men, and how many different continents to get the Bible into the King James language and take it out of Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic? Why are people trying to put it back in it today?
That's good.
Why? What in the world who do they think they are trying to take? God allowed those men to go through those things they went through to give us an English Bible in our hand, and they're trying to put it back into those languages God took it out of. And they're okay with that. I'm not okay with that. Because they're trying to tell me, brother, they're trying to tell me, look at Dale, in order for you to get a better understanding to help your people in jail and prison, you got to teach them Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. No, I don't, because they'll stay lost the rest of their life if I go in there with that nonsense. God already gave me what it says in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic right here.
That's right.
So what am I telling you by saying that? It's the wrong spirit. That spirit's not from God. God made it clear when he gave us the English Bible. But those people are afraid to look at what Spirit's given that to them. Okay? They're calling that the Spirit of God. They're calling that Christianity. They're calling that knowledge from God. And it's filth. It is not knowledge from God. Try every spirit. How do I try the spirits? Or try the spirits according to the Word of God. Okay? You know, I gotta go out there and do a seance, you know, light up, you know, some incense and burn it, and God's gonna say, whoa, here you go. Then, no, it's gonna come from reading that Bible.
Right.
God's gonna assure our hearts, he's gonna come inside of us, and he's gonna give us that comfort, that peace that passes all understanding, that thing that you cannot explain why this is going on at this time. That's what God puts in that person's heart. That's the witness that comes. Again, it's that witness that I do not have to question any longer if I'm his child.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My daughter does not have to walk up to me every day and ask me, Dad, are you my dad? But we're telling people they're okay in that position. Maybe God has given a warning here because he doesn't want you to go out there and teach that filth.
Right.
Maybe you're going to run into somebody who really believes that that's okay. And God doesn't want you to do that because all it's going to do is hurt them. It's never going to help a single person. My pastor, you've probably heard of it since you've been down there. My pastor will not tell a person whether they're saved or lost. That's not his job. It's the Holy Ghost's job. But what are we doing? We're stepping in and we're trying to take and we're trying to convince them one way or another. We don't know that really. We look for fruit, but when we don't see that fruit instantly, we think, well, they're probably not saved. Could that be? It could be, but who are we? Who are we? That's the wrong spirit. God didn't tell us to judge whether that person is saved or lost. He says, go out there and plant that seed.
Right.
Go out there and water it, and God will give the increase in his time. Not to what? See, these spirits are different spirits than what we're, but you know what we do? We follow those spirits because they're easier.
Right. Yeah.
When you know you're following God's spirit, it's going to go against your flesh.
Yes.
It's going to go against your thinking. It's going to go against everything you are. Let me just say this. This Bible goes against everything we are. So in order for us to know who's speaking to us, we have to be in that Bible. We have to be in that Word. We have to be in prayer. Because there are many spirits out there trying to trip us up and make us go. Even though they look good, and I talked to Pastor McFarland and I talked to Matt the other day when we were eating at their house, there are many good things that the devil has brought in my life. You go, what are you talking about? Because the devil tried to tempt me just like he did with Jesus Christ. And he brought all this money and all these things that I could have had. And man, it looked real good for the ministry, brothers. I mean, it looked wonderful. I said, man, this has got to be from God. It was the farthest thing from God. But sister, let me tell you this. There are people who will cling to that and say, God, help me do this. And when it gets destroyed, they go, well, that was just God's plan all along.
No.
No, you missed it.
Right.
You missed it. You got it to the wrong spirit. Just because something looks good does not mean it's from God.
Right.
Not everything in your life has been a blessing from God. You better check that. You better look at that. I've learned that. And walking in these past 12 years, that there's things that I prayed for in my life that I thought we needed. That I thought, Lord, this just has to happen for such and such and so or whatever, whatever. And then when I got it, I go, darn, Lord, why did you give that to me? Why did you give that to me? Because all it did was trip me up. All it did was take my eyes off of Jesus Christ and put them on something totally different. It made me look somewhere different. It almost made me walk somewhere different. Why? Because not always good things are from God like that. God has got certain ways that he does it. He confirms it. He shows us. He teaches. But we have to seek that thing out because it's not always clear. Why isn't it always clear? Because God's trying to see what spirit we will listen to. Are we going to listen to the spirit of the world? How about the spirit of man that God has put in every one of us? If you're a child of God, you have the spirit of God in you. How are you going to listen to that? And God will leave you hanging out there. God will leave you dangling out there until you start getting that right. And it's an important matter that we understand. How can we hear from God? How can we hear from the spirit of God? How do we know that this is from God? I'll tell you one thing for sure. It will always line up. There will never be a doubt that it's from God. When I was facing those things, I was 99.9% sure it was from God. 99.9% sure it was from God. Guess what? It wasn't from God. That 0.1%, it was God trying to tell me, don't do it. It's the wrong way. It's the wrong spirit. That's not my spirit telling you that, Dale. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 says this, and I'm just going to read it quick, and then we're going to have you start turning into some. Just trying to lay a little groundwork here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 6 says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, capital S Spirit, that beareth witness. Why does he bear witness? Because the Spirit is truth. The Spirit of God is never going to lie. It's never going to lead you into a place of destruction. It's never going to lead you into a place of questioning. And if you do question, it's because that spirit of man or the spirit of the world has come in between you and God. It's such a fine line, Brother Matt. And I'm going to tell you now, you have to be in tune with God to be able to tell the difference. Do you know that's where God wants you? Your Bible says, never says to draw near to God.
Right? That's good.
It says draw nigh to God. But you know what that word nigh means? Here's what the word, some of you may know. Brother Paul Scott taught on that word nigh. Right now, I am near that stage. The stage. I'm near that stage. But to draw nigh means there can be nothing in between me and that stage. Now I am nigh unto this stage. That means there's nothing in between me and that stage. That's where God wants us. But here's where Christians like to live. They like to live near God.
Yeah.
Because when they draw nigh to God, God's going to have them come out of that comfort zone.
Yes.
It didn't say draw near unto me, but it says draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. It's a promise that God gives to a Christian. But why don't we run to that, Sister Vicki? Because it's going to challenge our flesh.
Yeah.
It's going to make us look in places and think things that we never thought possible. We say, there's no way God would do that, and it's God the whole time. What do you want to do? How do you want to live? Do you want to live near God, or do you want to live nigh unto God? Do you want to live in the spirit of the truth, or do you want to live in the spirit of deception? What do you want from God? He's given it all, but it's not, look, it's up to us now on how far we bring this thing. It's how far we want to listen spiritually to God. This is a spiritual challenge for you tonight. This has nothing to do with your physical abilities, how many push-ups you can do, or how much work you can do, or whatever it is. It has nothing to do with our physical. It's the spiritual. But I'll tell you tonight, there are some pretty strong physical people in this church. But that's not the challenge. The challenge is a spiritual challenge that will challenge you all the way around, both physical, mental, emotionally, all the way around. God says, this is going to be a challenge for you. What spirit, my friend, are you listening to? You know, back in the Old Testament, God sent a spirit of lies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Will you tell the difference between God sending a spirit like that to you or the devil? Can you tell the difference? What spirit is talking to you? I know there's one spirit that would love to convince you that you're saved if you're not.
Yeah.
How can you tell the difference? Is there a way to tell the difference? 100%. God would have never put that challenge out there if it wasn't. There is a way. How is that? This Bible, the peace of God that passes all understanding. A person who is not saved will never experience the peace that passes all understanding. It's impossible for them. That's given for the children of God. That's one of those things that God gives us a gift. What a wonderful gift it is.
Amen.
The same Spirit that bears the witness of the truth in Christ is the same Spirit that witnesses the truth in us about where we stand in Him. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, you understand that? It says that we have the same Spirit of faith. That's a small S spirit. Why is that a small S spirit? Because it's talking about the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came down here as a man. He has a small S spirit. Go read in the book when he says, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit," small S spirit, because he's down here as a man. Fully man, fully God. We have a small S spirit because why? God put a small S spirit inside of us according to John chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus Christ walked down here as what? A man. So he had a small S spirit. Let me tell you this. When the book says that Jesus Christ understands everything you've been through, he understands everything you've been through. Perfectly. He understands it better than we understand it. He went through it. He understands what it is to be fully man yet without sin. He understands that spirit of man that's been put in. He understands the spirit of the world. That's why the devil came and tried to tempt him with the world. He understands that. He had to go through that. Why? That's when he can help us, so he can strengthen us. Do you know there's nothing that we go through that Jesus Christ has not experienced? So why has a small S spirit? Why is it on earth? And you'll see the Spirit of Christ in the capital S after he's ascended. Those are all important things. It's important to understand those spiritual things. It's important to understand that word spirit. And here we're going to see in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, look what it says. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And I just want you to take note on this. To believe on and to believe in are two different things. We believe on Jesus Christ for who he is. We believe in Jesus Christ for what he's done. Go look it up if you don't believe me. Go follow that when it tells you that in your Bible. He puts that there specifically. Look at this. Bible gives you a trail to follow if you'll just stop and follow it.
Yeah.
He gives you, he wants you to see that we not only believe in Jesus Christ, but we believe on him for who he is. We believe in him for the things that he's done and so on and so forth. And it's so interesting when you start taking those things and you follow them through. Because remember, he had to fulfill it all.
Yeah.
How many can go in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus? I'm just going to give you some stuff that if you want to study, go study it out. But I think you'll find it interesting. Many people say, oh gosh, the book of Leviticus, one of my favorite books. I even wrote a college course on it, trying to get it together. Matt, maybe you can help me organize it. I just can't seem to organize it. I need to organize it. But it's a college course that I wrote that God gave me, and it's the first five books in Leviticus. Jesus Christ said that he came to fulfill the laws, not destroy them. He had to fulfill the laws and the prophets. We all have prophecy conferences, and they're a big deal. Why don't we have law prophet, conferences? He said he came to fulfill all the laws and the prophecies, right? And that those laws being fulfilled are more important than the prophecy being fulfilled. Not worried about the prophecy, but Jesus Christ had to fulfill every single law that was written in that book. How? Let me ask you this. When a sacrifice was done, some of those sacrifices were killed, and some were slain. Two different words spelled differently and two different actions. You can kill somebody by accident. You can accidentally kill somebody. To slay means to have a violent intent. To go and stab somebody 40 times in their head and burn them and chop their body up is a slaying. Where you can accidentally kill somebody. So how did Jesus Christ, as that sacrifice, how did he fulfill being killed and fulfill being slain? Well, who put him on that cross? The Romans. They killed him, and they did not know who they were killing. But who slayed him? The Jews. The hatred put him on that cross, and they slayed him. You see, Jesus Christ had to fulfill both of those. A commentary didn't teach me that.
Right.
Getting in there studying that. Why? Because he said he had to fulfill all the laws. If he didn't fulfill all the laws, then we're still lost and dying and going to hell. I just want you to know that. Every single law that you'll find from the book of Exodus through Genesis Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, all those things go on. And as he goes through them, all those things had to be. Take the tabernacle part, what do you see? Jesus Christ. Okay? You take that tabernacle part, those pieces by pieces, and everything he's done, and there's Jesus Christ out there. But who's going to take that? Who wants to study that? Nobody wants to do that anymore. Why? Because somebody else done it. You know, this person wrote on it, this person wrote on it. I'm glad I didn't read anything that day, because you know what? I would have never got to the place where I would have seen the things that I've seen. The Spirit of God has come into my life. And you're going to see here in a minute where he teaches us all things. He teaches us all things. But today, we look back and we want man to do it. We want man's books. We want man what man has written. And yet, look, I'm not against them, but they need to be put in the proper place. They need to be taken and put aside. I tell people, if you're going to read a book, at least have the decency and give God the honor to have that King James Bible open while you're reading that book. Because that man will make a mistake. He is a human being.
Right.
Okay? But you'll never know that unless you have this open and you follow along with it. You'll never, ever, ever know that. But yet you'll argue with me, well, you know, I don't know if God said that because so-and-so said this and he wrote this book and he wrote. I don't care about that. So what's he saying here in verse 13 in John chapter 1? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As a spiritual birth that takes place inside of a person. That Cassie doesn't have to go up to mommy and daddy and say, gosh, I wonder if that's my mom and dad. Every single day she knows that perfectly in her heart. And that's the same spirit that God puts in a believer. That they never again ever have to wonder. They never again, no matter what they do, have to say, God, am I your child? It will be seated in them. It will be something that's permanently in them. That spirit bears witness with their spirit that they are a child of God.
Yeah.
His spirit bears witness. It's not our spirit that bears witness. Our spirit is all our spirit bears is the things of man and the things of the world. But God's spirit are the things that are not pertaining to the flesh. They're pertaining to the word of God. They're pertaining to the holiness. My goodness, to go to church and say, hey, you know, God wants you to live holy. People don't like to hear that word. There's a four-letter word that I say in churches, Pastor, excuse me for saying it in front of your people, that people want to stone me for, fasting. Baptists don't like to hear the word fast.
That's right.
It's a reality. But I know Jesus Christ said this, some of these don't come out by prayer and fasting. But yet we just go ahead and pray. And wonder why there's certain things in our life. God won't budge. He won't move. And we wonder, God, why won't you move in this? Because that spirit inside yourself is telling you, go ahead and just eat. Just go pray. God will answer your prayers. There are things in our life that we're going to face that God wants us to fast for. But who's teaching on fasting anymore? Who's teaching on that anymore? Nobody. Why? Because the spirit of the world has taken over our churches. The spirit of eating, okay? Lusting after that food, coveting after that food. It's the Spirit of God wants you to fast. He wants you to get into that. He wants you to take that. And look, it's got health benefits too. My goodness. Normally, until I come to Maine, we do like a 16 and 8. We don't eat for 16 hours. We eat for 8 hours. Okay, good, healthy food. Until we get here, that goes out the window. Why? Because there's health benefits in it. It's made me lose 45 pounds. My wife has lost about 70 pounds. My blood sugar is perfect. Everything is right on. I should be in a lot worse shape than I am with the stuff that I put my body through. But God said this, fasting not only is a good spiritual help, but it's a good physical help. Good physical help. And so God has given that to us. He's given me that spirit of joy that when I go ahead and fast, it's not like I'm grumpy. Oh, man, I can't believe I can't eat today. Oh, this is so horrible. Why would I put myself? Could you imagine if God got on the cross and said, oh, gosh, you know, Seth, he done this. Why do I have to die for him, God? Why? Why is it when it comes to the things of God, it's so hard for us? We're not living in the spirit. I'll show you. Look, we'll just keep going here. 1 John chapter 3. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Look what it says. We're talking about a spiritual birth. Something that's happened inside of us. A miracle from God. It's not something we can drum up. It's not something I can sit there and, you know, in a circle, light fires and all this stuff and hum this stuff inside of me. It's a miracle that God had birthed inside of me. It's a miracle that God has put inside of me. It's a spiritual birth that has happened inside of Dale Morey that makes me his child. It's not something I can drum up. It's not something I can make up. It's not something I can go out there and try to convince somebody else. It's something that God worked inside of me. I'm just going to tell you this. It's a miracle that God works inside of a person when his spirit steps into their body. That woman with the issue of blood, she touched Jesus Christ. And it says that she knew something happened within her. Did you know something happened within you the day Jesus Christ stepped into your life? Because I know I sure did. Mm-hmm. I know the one who spoke this world into existence. And look, he's so big that he spoke this world into existence. You mean to tell me you won't know when he steps into your life? Mm-hmm. But what spirit is witnessing to you? I watch the faces of people and I see doubt, 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 doubt. Everywhere I go, doubt, doubt. And then you know what happens? They come up to me and they try to convince me of how saved they are. Brother Seth, I had a pastor here in Maine who could not wait to get me to his church to preach, Brother Matt. I got up and I preached the message on why people doubt. When I got done, he came over and goes, you know, I've changed my mind. He goes, we're going to continue our study in the book of John. We won't have you in maybe next year. That was 6 years ago, 5 years ago. But you know what he stood there and did? He stood there for about an hour trying to convince me of how saved he really is. You see, people don't want to see what spirit is witnessing to them. They're afraid to look at that thing. But here's what they don't understand. By being afraid to look at that, they're going to bust hell wide open.
That's right.
And no matter where I go, look at people. When you're out there dealing with people, don't try to shove nothing down the throat. I love what Seth and you guys are doing, making friends with these, you know, young people and helping them. It's not about shoving anything on them. Because I'll tell you this, if anybody wanted to shove anything on somebody, God would be the one doing it, but he's not.
Right.
He's not. He's not forcing anything on anybody, okay? It's just that slow loving them and helping them and helping them to see the love of God. Help them understand their condemnation. Help them understand this is a spiritual thing. Is my phone there? Is my phone? I want to read something to you real quick, if you don't mind. It just came up. It's not here.
Auto, run out to the car and get my phone, okay?
I'm going to read something to you. I think this would be a help to you, and it's a prayer of mine that I use to pray for my family. And I think there's a lot of families in here who'll see why their family members are struggling, okay? And so I'll say that until Autumn gets back. But here's what I'm saying. Most people that we deal with don't understand the spiritual. We try to go to them, brother, and have them understand the spiritual aspect that we understand. They have no clue. But yet we try to deal with them on that level. When I go into jail and prison, I cannot go in there with the spiritual level in my mature Christian life and thinking they have that same thing and they have that same understanding. They do not. It's a totally different spirit in them than me. I have the spirit of Jesus Christ living inside of me. They still have the spirit of the world. I don't care what they claim. I'm not worried about what people claim. Okay? And so they have that spirit of the world that's in them and it's got their eyes blinded. And look at it says here in 1 John. It says, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us. How do we know? He didn't say we guess. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say we hope so. He said, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. You mean to tell me there are people who are sitting in church pews tonight who do not understand that the Holy God is living inside of them? They have no clue that God is living in there? You would be shocked to know how many people do not know that. You would be shocked to know that how many people do not have that understanding of that. And they call themselves a Christian. They say they're saved people. That's a shame to watch it. It's scary to watch it. But here's what I have to say about my family. That's just something I pray all the time, and I ask for the Lord to help me in it. I'm just going to read what I have, and I thought it's my prayer list. It says, I pray because none of our family sees the need for their life to change. To them, they're doing everything exactly right according to the laws of man. How do we get them to see that they are lawbreakers towards a holy God? And that their need is not physical or earthly, but spiritual. How do we get them to see that they're born with a sin nature, and because of that sin nature, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God? If they don't see a need for forgiveness because they don't see themselves as doing wrong or under the condemnation of the laws of God because they do earthly things right, then how will they ever come to Jesus to be forgiven? They don't. They don't understand the need. The God, small g, of this world have blinded the minds with their goodness towards the laws of man and doing the right thing. They don't understand their condemnation. They don't understand their guilt, but yet we will talk to people like they have an understanding of what's going on.
Right.
We are going there with the wrong spirit. There's a spirit that Paul warns us about, and I believe I have it written here, that Paul warns us about, and let me see. Well, anyway, he says, if you go and preach another spirit, good Christians, good Bible-believing Christians are out there preaching that spirit that those people do not understand. It's the spirit of Antichrist. We're actually pushing people away and not drawing them in because we're preaching to them a spirit that they do not understand. But we're trying to deal with them on that level. Do you remember how God had to rewind you in your life and show you as a babe? He says, come as a child. When we lost all that religiousness about ourselves, you know why we lost that religiousness? Because God came in and started stripping that stuff away because he understood exactly where we are. When we're dealing with somebody, we have to look at them for where they are, not where we are. But we don't do that. We go out there and we try to deal with them on our level, on our understanding, on our spiritual aspect. That's preaching another spirit. That's giving them another spirit. And it's leading them astray. It's pushing them away. It's not drawing them in at all. And God says, God forbid that we start doing that. 1 Corinthians 2. And I want to be here for a minute. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look what it says here in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 9. We're going to read down. I'll break it down as we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And look what it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but it's written, we talked about this the other night, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And verse 10, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by whose spirit? His spirit, not ourselves. These things are not revealed to us by our own spirits. But we cling on to those things like we have done that. And that's what we do. And God says, no, I'm the one who reveals these things by his spirit. And it goes on and says, for the spirit searches all things, that's a capitalized spirit, yea, the deep things of God. In verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the what? Spirit of man. Is that a capital S or a small s?
Small.
Small s. Totally different spirit than that capital S spirit. Most of the time when you see the capital S spirit by itself, it's talking about the Godhead in general. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost working together in unison. They don't work separate like that. They all know what each other's doing, but yet they work differently. Okay? That's the way God is. That's the way he is. That's who he is. That's what he does. And he shows us that distinctly in the Word of God. And here together, why? Because that God has us, that when we have Jesus Christ in us, we have the what? Fullness of the Godhead. We have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in us. And so by his Spirit, he's teaching us these things. But because we have a spirit of man, which is in him, it says, even the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So who does God know? God knows his spirit. He knows what he wants to teach, but he also knows our spirit. Understand that. God knows what we are spiritually. He understands our spirit. We're always trying to figure our spirit out. We need to leave that to God. Leave that to the Word of God, and he'll show it to us. He'll give us direction. It says that he revealed all the secret things of God. Why hasn't God revealed all the secret things to everybody? There are many people out there who claim to be a Christian. I'll challenge them in something spiritual. They have no clue what I'm talking about. But yet they claim to be a Christian. Okay? Why? Because that spirit is not inside of them telling them the truth. It's not witnessing to them that they have the truth. It's not. But yet they cling on to that. They cling on to it. They're so afraid. They're so afraid because their Sunday school teacher led them to Christ. Or this happened. Or, you know, this pastor was preaching. They got saved at this meeting. And that's all they care about. That's all they're hanging on to. They're hanging on to something that's going to send them to hell. It's the wrong spirit. It's not the spirit inside that person. And look what it says here in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. At salvation, we did not receive the spirit of the world. We already have the spirit of the world inside of us, according to Ecclesiastes, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 11, said that he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart. Why? So that no man can find out the work of God that maketh the beginning to the end. God had already set the spirit of the world inside of us so that we cannot figure him out. Why? Because he wants us, when we get it, to listen to his spirit, not ours. And that's something, what a miracle God does to do that for us. People say, well, that's cool that God puts the world in a person's heart. No, it isn't, because when you get saved, you'll understand the miracle.
Yeah.
You'll understand what really goes on inside of a saved person. I forgot what there is. I think there's 147 things that instantly happen to a person when they get saved. I don't have time to answer all 147 of them. But you'll know this. It's a miracle. Why? Because God has hidden those spiritual things from us so that when he steps inside of us, it's a miracle to us. Man, I remember when I started having that understanding. I'm not talking about religious understanding. My pastor calls it GBOK, General Body of Christian Knowledge. There's a bunch of Christians that know a bunch of everything. It's just a bunch of general Christian stuff. Oh no, God shows us the deep things of God. His Spirit reveals to us the deep things of God. Those things that you hear me talking about, they may not be interesting to you, but those are God revealing his deep things to me. Right. Why? Because his Spirit's inside of me. His Spirit's inside of me teaching me those things. That's why I don't need anything else to teach me the Bible. I don't need anybody else to teach me the Bible. It's safe from being underneath the pastor. I need to be underneath the pastor. I need to be under the preaching of the Word of God.
Right.
But when it comes to my study, I don't need anybody else to teach me. If the Holy Ghost of God can't teach me, then I have nothing.
Right.
But you see, the Holy Ghost witnesses with the Spirit that's inside of me, and it reveals these things. That, why? Because I'm special. No, because I put the time into it.
Yep.
I put the effort into it. I've taken everything, sister, that man has tried to pump into my head and pumped it out the other side. I don't need it. What spirit are we listening to? God says this, that he put his spirit inside of us. He said, not of the spirit of the world, but the spirit, the next part of that chapter, he says, not of the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. You see, that's a small s spirit. Why is that a small s spirit there? Because that's the spirit of Jesus Christ working in a believer. But see, you wouldn't know that if you don't study that. Okay? You would just automatically look at that and go, well, that must be a spirit of man, or that must be a wicked spirit. No, that's the spirit of God, small s spirit of G-O-D, telling you that Jesus Christ is God and he works inside of a person after salvation. The world goes away, the spirit of the world goes away, and the spirit of Jesus Christ comes and indwells. Why? Because the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in us. We're complete, man. We don't need nothing else, but yet we're searching for everything else on the planet. And if you don't have these spirits inside of you to show you these deep things, to bring you to this place, to have understanding of these things, it all sounds strange. But do you know the men and women of old understood what I'm teaching today? Why? Because they had the Spirit of God inside of them. They understood. This is not a strange doctrine. This has been in the Bible since he wrote it in English.
Right.
It's not wrestling. Show me anything I've ever wrestled out of context here. Mm. Show me something that I've taken out of context and try to make it fit what I'm saying. You'll never find it. Go listen to my preaching. I got hundreds of preaching messages. I want you to go and listen to them. And what I want you to look for is see anywhere that I've wrestled anything out of context. Come to me. I can handle it. I can handle it. But you won't find that from me. No need to wrestle it out of context. It makes perfect sense the way it's in context.
Yeah.
Perfect. Why? Because that spirit inside of me, it convinces me, it shows me, I can have confidence in what this Bible is saying. I can have confidence. Why? Because the Spirit witnesses to my spirit that I can have confidence in his word. Now, can I say this? Seth, I don't believe this King James Bible to be the Word of God because of what's written about it. I believe this to be the King James Bible because of what's written in it.
Right.
But what gives me that confidence, brother? The Spirit in me. And the Spirit that bears witness with this book that it's perfect. If somebody is sitting in this church that does not think that that book is perfect, they have the wrong spirit in them. Because the Spirit that I have, the Spirit from God, will witness to you that this is the perfect book. And those who question that are the ones preaching that different spirit. They don't have the same spirit because my spirit that lives inside of me, which is God, and this spirit, which is his word, perfectly preserved for us, they bear witness one to another. There's no doubt about that. I'll sit on the home line. Well, I wonder if that said something different in Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. I wonder if the God really meant that. No, I don't do that. I take it exactly for what it says. Why? Because his spirit bears witness to me that I can have confidence in this book. I can have confidence in what it says. I can have confidence. He says, these things are written that you may know, not guess that you have salvation, that you may know.
Yeah.
If his spirit is bearing witness with your spirit, you will not doubt your salvation. That's a reality.
Yes.
But because people are missing that spirit, they're so afraid to try to convince themselves of a different spirit. And the devil wants to keep them trapped in that spirit.
Yeah.
If you're having a problem thinking that this is the Word of God, what spirit is witnessing to you? Then what Bible is the perfect word? Tell me that. There's only one that the Spirit's going to bear witness to, and that's sitting on that pulpit right there.
Amen.
Or if you've got a King James Bible sitting on your lap, there's only one he'll bear witness to. But so many people going out there, and they're looking for this other thing, and Paul preaches against that. I'm going to finish this. He says, but the Spirit of God, small as spirit, that's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, in verse 12, finishing up here, it says, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely given to who? Us,
right.
Of God. If you want to go after it, it's in that book. It's whatever you want to study, whatever God wants you to see, it's in that book for you to freely have. But the importance of studying today is not there anymore. Why? Because so-and-so did it. This college done it. I had a guy tell me this. The same preacher told me this. He said, I really didn't have an understanding of Bible knowledge until I went to Bible college. Blah. Puke.
Yeah.
Filth. I'm not against Bible college. I went there, but I can tell you one thing for sure. I did not learn my Bible in college.
Right.
They could not teach me the Bible if they wanted to. You go, well, that's awfully confident. That's where my confidence stands, right here.
Yeah.
My confidence stands right here. When I went to Bible college, they would ask me questions, and I would answer it to their filth. But then I'd say, well, this is what I really believe the Bible says, and I would give them my answer. You know what? They gave me A's. Because I was teaching them what this book says. Why? Because I have a confidence inside of me. I have a spirit inside of me that tells me I can have that confidence in this book, that it will lead me and direct me and guide me exactly where I need to be. It will teach me all things that God wants me to have. And a Christian, when they're sitting underneath the man of God, when somebody's up here preaching that Bible correctly, doctrinally, right down the pew, and the Holy Ghost is moving, you'll agree with it too. What spirit's witnessing to you? What's the spirit in you telling you? Got a spirit of slumber in you from not wanting to study? Get out of it. Make that choice to get out of it and ask God, God help me to get back into wanting to study this wonderful book and then give me the confidence that I can have in this thing. Look, if we can't have confidence in this Bible, what in the world can we have confidence in? What? And if you have the Spirit inside of you, he will give you that confidence. You don't have to drum it up. When I stand here behind a pulpit, I have confidence that God is going to do what he's going to do. Whether somebody gets anything from the message or not, it's not up to me.
Right.
That's up to the Spirit of God to tell each and every person, wherever they're at, to challenge them wherever they're at. He just tells me to go ahead and open my mouth. That's all I do. I can't do much of anything else. I'm not a smart person like that. I just want you guys to know that. I'm not a college graduate who has PhDs. Because I'm so smart and I have this and I have that. I got a PhD because God gave me the ability to do some college work to get a degree so I can get in jails and prisons. Not because I'm smart. I don't need to be smart. I need to have a relationship with this Bible and God. That's what I need. That's what makes me function.
Yeah.
And by the way, let me just say this. I got to get it out of the way. Liberty behind bars does not make me who I am. Jesus Christ does.
Right.
Please don't ever confuse that. If God was to take liberty behind bars for me today and say, that's it, we're done, I'm good. I'm still going to go to heaven from a church pew. And my conscience is absolutely clear that I've done everything God wants me to.
Yeah.
That's it. Where'd that come from? I don't know. But I just want to finish up. I just got a few more things that will be done.
Keep going.
It says, but what the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Who's teaching the spiritual things here? The Holy Ghost. Since when have we gotten to a place in our lives where we're no longer looking for the Holy Ghost to teach us, but what somebody else has already learned? I'm not saying what that person has learned is wrong. Don't misquote me here. But what I'm saying, if the Holy Ghost of God can teach them, why can't he teach us? Just think back in your own Christian life here for one second. And think of one thing in your life that God absolutely 100% showed you. How have you forgotten? Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten that time he did that? No. So that's what the Holy Ghost wants to do all the time. He always wants to show you things. He always wants to reveal things to you. Why? So they don't let them forget it. You'll hear somebody preach a message, and then you go, man, that's good. And the next day you can't even repeat anything the man preached. Why? Because it didn't stick to you. God didn't give that to you. Man did. You heard what a man had to say. You didn't hear what God had to say. If you heard what God had to say, it wouldn't leave you.
Right.
This is how it is. That's that spirit that bears witness with your spirit that you took that and you ran with that. And God showed you something. And when he showed you that, it made a difference in your life. Why is it, brother, that we come to church and leave the same way we come in every time? What is God broken? No, we are.
Yeah.
It's a different spirit. We come in here with the spirit like we know everything.
Yeah.
Like God can't show me nothing new. Like I already know this stuff that Dale's up there teaching, so God forbid if we ever lose a teachable spirit.
Amen.
God forbid. God forbid. Well, we do it. We do it.
Yeah.
Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can they be known of them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. Galatians chapter 3, you don't have to turn there if you want. I'm just going to read a few more verses and close this up. Galatians chapter 3, and verses 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being set free. Just kidding. Being made free.
Right.
We're not set free. Separating means we go back out there and live any way we want. That's not what Christ did.
No.
Christ made us free. Then at that moment of salvation, he gave us something we didn't have. He made us free. Set free means you can go out there and live any way you want. Well, look at here, jail, prison, mental hospitals, rehabs. Every time they put me in jail, prison, mental hospital, rehab, guess what they did? They set me free to go back out there and live any way I want. When Jesus Christ stepped into my life 12 years ago, he made me free.
Amen.
He made me into something that I didn't have.
Yep.
He gave me something, a freedom and a liberty that I've never had before in my life. And guess what happened? It changed my life. So he
right.
made me free to be set at liberty.
Amen.
I've been set at liberty. He made me free. He made me into something that I never had been. And he set me free. He set me to go out there and live my life in the liberty found in Jesus.
Amen.
If you think that you're bound by living this life, you have the wrong spirit.
Amen.
You're more free in Jesus Christ than you'll ever be. It's a liberty he's given us. What spirit are you living in when you feel bound by this Christian life? Where? I know bondage. I understand completely what bondage is. I've been in it my whole life. And I tell you what, living in Christ is not bondage. It's a freedom, man. I mean, it's a freedom to eat as much as I want to eat, okay? It's a freedom to go out there, catch some bass, and cook them up for my wife. We have the liberty to go out there and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ regardless of what happens. Look, I have the liberty inside of me because I don't have hatred. I don't have bitterness. I don't have murderous thoughts that are in my head. I don't have the depressions like I had. Why? Because he made me free. He gave me something that I could never have. Why? What happened, brother? His spirit came inside of me.
Amen. Yes.
And now he dwells in the inward parts. And now me and him can have that fellowship, but we can have that communication. Matt, I believe, man, you have a pretty good relationship going on, right? I believe God has brought that. Seth, your family, I love your boys, man. I love your boys to death. Man, thank God for what he's doing in your life. I appreciate what goes on here. That same spirit that we have one with another, that's what God has given us to himself. Yeah. But how many of you are taking advantage of it? Mm. He's given us that. That's the spirit that's in us. And his spirit that has not opened that communication up for us to have that. But we don't live like that. We don't take advantage of that. We don't take advantage of that spirit now as a direct phone line to God. Why? We're his child. Man, if one of your children called you up in trouble, brother, what would you do? Right? You'd do anything you could to get them out of what they're in. That's what we do. It's why we have a parent's heart. Well, what about God? What about God when if we're one of his children and his spirit dwells in us? Would he not do the same? The problem is we don't turn to that phone number. The very first thing we think of when we're in trouble is, who can I call? Who can I ask? I'll put a prayer request out so they know we need money.
Yeah.
It's the truth. Why? Because we forget that line of communication that we have with God. We don't think about that spirit being in us, that he's our Father. We say, oh, look, we can cry, Abba, Father. Why aren't we doing it then? Why aren't we crying, Abba, Father? What spirit do you have in you? Has he given you that spirit? He said he redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He was made a curse for us. You know what that means? That Jesus Christ, when he hung on that cross, he was made something that he was never before. A curse. For who?
Us.
Us. My God.
Yes.
What a wonderful God. To think that he'd be willing to be made sin. He'd be willing to be made Dale Morey. So that I can live free. Mm.
That's good.
My goodness. Why don't we so easily forget what God has done for us? And we so easily forget, not only did he die for us and suffer 3 hours in hell and then go into paradise for 3 days and rose again, but this is what happened. He did all that for us. He travailed in hell. His soul became a sacrifice for us in hell. Mm-hmm. You go, well, I don't know if the soul of Jesus Christ went to hell. Then we're all going to go to hell because he had to fulfill the burnt offering.
Yep.
Okay? Psalm 16:10, Acts 22, I can bring you through all the verses that tell you and plainly show you that Jesus Christ's soul went to hell. What happened when he died? He says, into thy hands, Father, I commit my spirit. Where's his body? In the tomb. Where's his soul? It's in hell. Had to be a burnt offering. Hebrews chapter 13 to tell you that as well, okay? His soul had to be made an offering for sin. If it did not become a burnt offering for sin, then we're all dying and going to hell. He did not complete the law. Do you know what that word travail means? That means it's an ultimate suffering that even a human being could endure. When women travail in pregnancy, they end up dying because it's so terrible. That's what Jesus Christ's soul felt when he went to hell. He travailed for us, according to Isaiah chapter 53. That same spirit of faith, small s spirit of faith, that's Jesus Christ's spirit now in us. What does that give us? The confidence that we're going to resurrect with him.
Yeah.
Do you know it's not our faith that saves us?
Right.
We're going to trip people up terribly.
Yeah.
We have to have faith, but it's not saving faith. It says before faith came. You see, before Jesus Christ came, they put their faith into the laws and the prophets. But then when faith came, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Mm-hmm. Author means somebody who began something. Finisher means somebody who finished it. So who's the author and finisher of our faith? Jesus Christ. It's his saving faith. Who does he give that to? Repent sinners that believe. You see, the work is complete in him. Not in us.
Right.
Not in us. But I'll tell you this right now. There are people in this room who have a hard time with that. Why? Because they don't have that same spirit of faith. Jesus Christ put the same spirit of faith in us that raised him out of the grave that we're going to raise with him. That same spirit of faith is now inside of us. Why? Because he's good like that.
That's right.
I'm almost done, I promise. I'm almost done, okay? verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, not by our faith, but through the faith of Jesus Christ. That saving faith is going to come through Jesus Christ. That Spirit of Jesus Christ, that Spirit of salvation is going to come through Jesus Christ. It doesn't come through ourselves. We don't work our way to salvation. Where I understand perfectly out of this Bible, salvation is free. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid for it. Therefore, it's not our faith that saves us. Otherwise, that would be a working faith.
Right.
I don't have a work. I don't have. Excuse me. A working salvation. I don't have a working salvation. Well, Romans 8 says, therefore, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit of God now dwells in us, and we're here to walk after Him. Romans 8, 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free. No. No. The law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Matthew 5:17 says, think not that I come in to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And I'm just going to read Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read it. It's an entire and real quick. And I want you just to understand. I want you to look at the word Spirit. And I want you to see who's doing all the work here. There's going to be capital Spirit, small S spirits. And by what I've told you already, you should be able to catch on to who's doing what. But I want you to see the importance of it. This is one book, one chapter. And when you do a study, it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of that word Spirit, whether it's being capital, whether it's in lowercase, whether it's the Holy Spirit with a capital H, Holy Spirit with a capital H and small s, or vice versa, okay? It's all kinds of combinations that are in there. And those combinations will tell you, the Holy Spirit is only one time in your Bible. But people call that the Holy Ghost. It's not. It's found in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. It's not the Holy Ghost of God. It's God working, God the Father. Okay? And so you won't understand that unless you do that study. Okay? You won't get it. It takes a while. But I tell you what, brother, you'll come out there a better person. You'll come out a different person. If you'll just get in there and study those things. And if a word pops up while you're reading, go study it. Don't let it linger. Why do you think God put questions in our heart?
Yeah.
God is the one who puts those questions in your heart for you to go in there and study those things out. So go and study them out. You don't have to get it all done in one day. Categorize things. Take your time. Look at them. Read every one. Read the verses before. Read the verses after. See, do you know, most of you know, Seth, I think you guys would know, that the King James Bible defines itself. You don't have to go get a dictionary. You know what that takes? Study. It's hard to find sometimes the definitions, but they're there. They're there. And if you're going to use one, go ahead and step away from the Webster Dictionary. Get the Oxford Old English Dictionary. Those words are going to be more in tune with what the King James Bible says at the Webster's 1828. Webster, Noah Webster, was an evil man. He hates Jews, and therefore Christians go out there and they use his dictionary because they think it's the best. It's not. Oxford Old English Dictionary is what you're going to find best to suit your King James Bible. You can get them in paperback, or I pay for it online. It's $100 a year, and it's an excellent tool to have because it's going to give me precisely what I need from this book if I cannot find it. Now, when I'm reading that, still, when I read that Oxford Dictionary definition, I take my Bible and I'll read along. If it does not agree with my Bible, then that's wrong. My Bible's right.
Yeah.
Okay? It's just a tool. It's just something to help us out. But it's the Oxford Old English Dictionary. And I try to help people out by telling them to get away from the Webster's. I know it's been there for a long time in our lives, but if you study it out, you're going to see the evilness behind the man, the crushing. He's come up with his own definitions of things that do not mean what you want them to mean. But that old Oxford English Dictionary will be the closest thing that you need to help you study your King James Bible. I thought I'd put that out there for you, and now I'm going to read Romans 8:1-8, and we're going to be done. Therefore, there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit, capital S Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus, go study that out. Go study the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You're going to absolutely have your mind blown studying that out to see what that all entails. It says, made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Could you imagine that? The righteousness of the law fulfilled in us. How is that fulfilled in us? Well, he just told us by the Spirit of life. Capital S, Spirit of the life that's in Christ Jesus is now fulfilled in us, and this fulfills the law. Unbelievable. This is why we can stand before God and say, I'm not guilty of it.
Right.
Not because of what we've done, but because it's the Spirit of the life of Christ Jesus that's now in us. He fulfilled that law. He condemned the law. He condemned the flesh. And now we can stand before a holy God and say, I'm not guilty. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful because I understand what it is to be under those sentences. I understand what it is to have a judge passing on judgment on me. And now today I can sit there before a holy God and say, I'm not guilty because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free. He already condemned that in the flesh.
Yeah.
Well, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the capital S Spirit. That's that Spirit that he puts inside of us. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. People say, Brother Dale, how come I don't have any peace, or how come it just seems like my life is falling apart? Because you're living in the flesh, not the Spirit. You're not following after the Spirit of God. You're following after the spirit of man, the spirit of the world. And those things are going to take away your peace. Those things are going to take away what you have life. But if you're walking in these things, and we can't do it all the time, we're weak.
Yeah.
But surely when that comes to our mind, we ought to turn back to the things of God and get away from the things of the spirit of the world. Get away from those things that are put inside of us. Well, anyway, he says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You see, he puts an if in there because he wants you to challenge yourself. Why would God put that there, brother, if he didn't want people to really look at what Spirit's in them? Think about that. Think about what he just said, if the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Why would God put that in there, in that order, if he didn't want you to challenge what spirit you have inside of you? He wants you to look at that. Over and over again, God is trying to get us to look at our inward, trying to get us to look at that spirit, trying to get us at what life that we have inside of us, over and over again. And then he comes along and gives us that peace. He comes along and gives us that confidence in him. Not confidence in ourselves, not confidence in our flesh. As you see it already here in these first few verses, the flesh means nothing. It's not going to help you walk spiritually. Then he says this, if the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, plain and simple. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means to be made alive, quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. So many times I read that verse to people who say, well, you know, I lived 40 years out there in the world, and one day I had, you know, God came down and told me I need to start living for Jesus again. No, my friend, if you're Jesus Christ, if he lives inside of you, he's not going to let you live 40 years that way. He says, if you live by the flesh and you're his child, you'll die. He will kill you. He will take you off the face of this earth. He gives you a chance to repent. If you do not repent, he will kill you. If you live by the flesh, you shall die by the flesh. Plain and simple. There ain't no, you know, I lived for 40 years and all of a sudden I had an epiphany and now I need to live for Jesus. I can't imagine. How many in here are going to let your children live that way? And we're expected to believe that God is going to allow his child to go ahead and live any way they want? I don't know about you, but my backside's pretty raw from being chastised all the time from God. And I'm only 12 years old, the Lord. But yet God is just going to let a person go out there and live any way they want like that and not chasing them? I have a hard time with that. Because I believe this, sister, that either God's going to bring them to repentance and they're going to realize what they've done, or God's going to take them off the face of this earth. That's what the Bible says. But the Spirit Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, but live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage. I want you to notice it's a small s right there. Okay? That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's a spirit of evil spirit. That's a spirit of bondage. And you'll find many compound spirits when you go through and do that study. You'll see many compound spirits. Put them in their own category, okay? You put those compound spirits in their own category and watch what you come up with. It's pretty fascinating to see. Most people don't even know what spirit's in them. They don't even know what spirits are even bothering them. They don't even know what spirits are listed in this book. Okay? Therefore, they don't have a spiritual way to handle it. It all makes a difference. Okay? Spirit of bondage. Again, the fear which you have received, the spirit of adoption, whereby we caught cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. You understand, if you have the Spirit of God in you, that you'll travail for wanting to go home. This world will grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and you'll long for home more and more and more. If that's not happening, what spirit is witnessing to you? Look, I'm not wanting to drop off this, you know, right here and just die. But I tell you what, this world has less and less got my heart. This world, less and less do I want to be here. I'm tired of being here at times. I'm ready to go home. And that's what he's talking about. The Spirit of God is in you. You'll start groaning for wanting to go home. You'll start groaning. You'll start wanting home more in heaven than you will here on earth. It'll be less and less, and that's what he's talking about there. For we know that the whole earth, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth and pain together until now. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do we yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which it cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And then verse 28 and 29 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them, for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to their own purpose. Oh, wait, we lost our purpose. We lost our purpose. It's not about our purpose anymore. We're called according to his purpose. Why? He bought us, and then he sealed us with his Spirit. We've lost our purpose in life. I don't know what everybody's purpose in life is in here, but I know this for sure. If you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, God's got a purpose for your life. He's not cast you to the side and said, well, he's going to use so-and-so, but not me. No, that's not the truth.
No.
He put his Spirit inside of you because he sealed you, and now he wants to use you, and he's called you according to his purpose. And you know what your purpose may be? Your purpose may be a piano player in the house of God for eternity. Your singing is preaching. You have messages when you sing that. Is that your purpose? We don't know. But boy, sure, it would be nice to have some CDs with them singing on there, glorifying God. Because why? God's got a purpose for every one of them. What's your purpose? You will not understand your purpose without knowing the Spirit inside of you. God is telling you that there's a Spirit dwelling inside of you, that he gave you up salvation. How well do you know it? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How do you know you've not grieved the Holy Spirit, my friend? by what you said, what you've done, what you thought. How do you know it ain't been years? That's since you've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And he stopped bothering you. He's not talking to you anymore. He's not doing things in your life. Things aren't working right. Prayers aren't being answered. Things aren't going your way. Why? Because you've grieved the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. He says, all things work for the good. You can't give that verse to a lost person. Stop doing it because it's not meant for them. It's not meant for a lost. It won't work for their good. It won't work for their good. It may look well, but it's not. And then he says this, they were called according to his purpose. In verse 29, we're going to close here. From whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Don't get yourself all worked up about those two words. It's not Calvinist. It's the problem is people just don't understand what those words mean. There's no Calvinist meaning behind those words if you understand the word of God. To be conformed into my own image. To be conformed into whatever image I want to look like. Oh no. We're called according to his purpose to be conformed to his image. How does he conform us to his image? By that spirit that dwells inside of us. And it leads us to be conformed into his image. You understand that the more we walk with God, the less and less that we are to look like ourselves, the less and less we're to act like ourselves, the less and less we're to sound like ourselves, the less and less we're supposed to look differently from the world. The world should be able to come up to us and say, hey, I need help. There's something going on. For whatever reason, it just felt comfortable to walk up to you. But how many of us have that? You know, they would walk up to Jesus Christ when they had a need. Why? Because they understood his spirit. They understood he had something for them. How come they're not? Why aren't they doing it to us? It says we're to be conformed into his image. The problem is we're not listening to the spirit. We got the wrong spirits in the wrong order. We're listening to the wrong ones. We're not listening to the one God put inside of us. And he confirms it through this Bible. He confirms it through prayer and fasting. And he says, if you'll follow these things, then people will come up to you. They will want what you have. They will ask you for help. They need you out there. These people are screaming for something inside. As a lost man, I used to sit there and I would watch my wife as she went to church and she'd come home. I go, oh, you're a holy roller. You're a Bible thumper. You think you're better than me now. And Matt inside, I was screaming, I want what she has. The world is screaming, they want what you have, but they're not going to come to you if you keep acting like yourself.
Right.
You got to have the Spirit lead you, and you have to know what Spirit is leading you. How do you know that? Right. Can't get no more playable than this. If an ex-convict, drug addict, gang member can understand this thing, surely you have no excuse. Surely you have no excuse. Okay? Surely you can figure this out with God and the Holy Ghost of God. And if you'll lead and guide and direct, and the Spirit of God is in you. But let me ask you this, what spirit is witnessing with your spirit? That's the challenge here tonight. Now, whatever you got out of this, that was between you and God. If you got nothing out of it, that's fine. But for whoever did get something out of it, the challenge is this. In the next 48 hours, figure out what spirit is talking to you. And figure out how you're going to figure that out. And then go with it. Go with it, Pastor.